Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Speaking of Twitter, okay, all right. We decided to just look at it. We're just glancing at it. We kind of ignored it for a long time. Not because we don't like people who tweet. It's just another technology. You know, yeah. It's like, okay, all right. We're willing to begin to explore that and just pray for us because it's a now word. You know, quite often, just so you know, that's why you got to go to VFN TV's Facebook if you want the post to be able to share with your friends. For some reason, I would think that they wouldn't choose the one about Jesus returning or end times. I don't know why, but if you go to our Facebook, you see them all every single day they're there. And once you like them, once you share them, you have them on your timeline. And did you see the commercial? This commercial of these older ladies sitting around, and you know what you call, by the way, when you post stuff in your Facebook or whatever your social community, they have this wall thing, and you put stuff on the wall. And so she just came back from a trip somewhere, and she had her friends over for a cup of tea or something. Mm-hmm. And she has all of this pictures and stuff that she experienced on her trip taped to the wall of her den, right? And her friends are, we got to find this commercial. It's hilarious. Yeah, even though they're not a sponsor. I think we got to show. Anyway, so we'll make it available. Find this thing and put it on the torch so everybody can see it. So her friends are sitting there and they're walking to her. Since I just wanted to make this easy for you, so I just posted this on the wall for you. It's just, this is when I went here. This is when I went there. And so, and so her one friend stands up, which is a true friend, obviously. And she says,
tell the truth.
She says, it doesn't work this way. And she looks her straight in her friend's face and she says, I unfriend you. And then she says, it doesn't work this way.
It does not say it.
That is so funny. That is so funny, man. That was a sanguine on putting stuff on the wall.
That was you.
And a melancholy was answering.
Right.
That was you. It don't work this way. And
this
so
is wrong.
Yeah. The we also will be talking about hopefully that how giving, you know, the reports are out right now that giving, being generous, is a form of healing. Think about it. There's things inside of us chemically that get released. The reports are that it relieves depression. We'll talk all of these different details about it, but stress goes away. And what you think about it is what happens when you give, you're not thinking about yourself. And Jesus gave us the key to that. He gave himself for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about that because he gave himself, we can give ourselves. He says, unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me, you can't have this peace we're talking about. And follow me, you can't have a part of me. And what he's saying is there's peace in Jesus, man. There's joy in him. And it's not religion. It's God who loves you, who wants to walk with you like you walked in the garden with Adam, like you walked with the disciples, like he walked with Mary. I mean, it's just, he loves you. And everything else is just a farce that the enemy has put up before you. And think about this, even in your journey of trying to discover that reality, that he's even patiently waiting for you to acknowledge him. This is what he said. You know, the book of Acts chapter 17, he writes about it. He says, everything that was made by God. And he's in everything. He's built everything. It's not built by human hands. And he said he did all this. He even picked the time that you would live and your address and all that. And this is the reason why he's done all this. I mean, think about it. The stars in the sky, the beautiful earth that we can see more of now, and just the beauty of life, the fine foods that you eat every day, and the nice summer breeze. He does all this for one thing, he said, to see if you would reach out and touch him, though he's not far from you. I mean, think about that. That's how awesome he is. And the only thing the enemy has going for him is a lie. Mm. Look at you. You're no good. God won't forgive you. That's not bad. You know, that's bad. Then all these negative stuff. It's like God's going, no, no, I'm holding the stars in place. I'm the breeze that just blew over you. Mm. I'm the oxygen that just came in and out of your, and the carbon monoxide that just came out of your lungs. I am the blood that moves through your veins. I am that good thought. Remember, you didn't have any good thoughts. But I'm just waiting for you to acknowledge me.
Yeah.
I mean, think how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm.
How, if somebody says, God doesn't love you. Think about it. He so loves you. He's patiently just waiting. Will you acknowledge me? And imagine now living your entire life. You live, you know, 40 years, 50 years, 60, 70, 80, 92 years. And all this is a reality. And you stand before his throne. What can you say at that point when your eyes are open to realize you were everywhere? I took credit for everything.
Mm.
And you were everywhere. I hoarded everything that you allowed me to have. I wouldn't give to anybody. I passed people that were starving. You know, I failed to tell people your truth when I knew. I mean, all these different things. And it's like, my goodness. You know what? You can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by reaching out for him. So I want to encourage you today. Maybe your day was hectic. Maybe it's been hectic. Maybe you've got a hectic day ahead of you or a night. That pause and remember that. And just say, you know what? I'm living in the exact time and season and address and place and everything that's around me. In it, I can thank God because this is God's will for me. And he loves me. And he has a plan for my life. And I'm going to reach out for him. And I'm going to touch him. And he's been touching me. I just got to acknowledge that it's been his hand touching me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about it. I know we got listeners in other countries and all, but just talk to Americans for a moment. He allowed you to live in America for whatever season that may be. I mean, think about it. He, the top 1% of the world. Think about that. Even the poorest person, like we say, is richer than, in America, is richer than 70% of 7 billion folks in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He think about it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to let you live here. And the question is, what are we doing with it? He that's been given much, much is expected. You know, one way that you could say, you know, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to reach out. I'll become a sponsor. I'll become a partner. I will stand up for God and country in that order in Israel. I will join Greg, Pat, and John and the whole VFN TV and daily radio program. And I will shout to the world. I acknowledge him. He exists and he is good.
We'll be right back.
Thousands of tourists visit Rome each year just to look up at the ceiling. What draws their attention is the magnificent work of Renaissance artist Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. Each fresco is a scene from the Bible.
The work of earlier artists cover the walls of the chapel. One depicting the life of Christ, the other the life of Moses. Michelangelo painted 9 scenes running the entire length of the chapel.
The ceiling begins with the creation from the book of Genesis and continues with the story of Noah. Michelangelo also included the biblical prophets and ancestors of Jesus. His painting of the Last Judgment on the altar wall of the chapel completed the Old and New Testament visualized in Michelangelo's work.
Engage with the Bible in every sphere of its influence over the centuries.
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film, the commercials, and the book itself. This fall, experience the book together, brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
I'm so excited about Kingdom Impact 100. It's going to be coming soon. But imagine this, 100 people once a year who give, you know, they can give throughout the year, but at the end of the year, they've given $1,000, mm-hmm. and they determine where that $100,000 is going to go. And you have to do this. You have to pray and meet all year long. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? Because this whole, you know, Kingdom Impact 100 is not about, you know, let me just go, you know, get some soup at the soup kitchen. Let me go do this. I mean, that could be kingdom, but you have to really hunt and pray and ask God, what is the kingdom? Reveal your kingdom to me. It's seeking
beautiful.
It, right?
Wow.
And imagine, you know, if they found out that what you were doing is kingdom, and all of a sudden this group of 100 gave you a check for $100,000.
Wow.
That's what we want to do.
For the advancement of the kingdom.
VFN Kingdom Business. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
If we call ourselves a Christian nation, we should have been concerned about the health care of every individual in America.
Yeah.
We should have been concerned about the economic unbalances in America. And we should have been just as concerned about Shaniqua's school or about Bobby's school. I mean, yeah. You know what I'm saying? We should have equal concern. Every school in America should be funded equally. And in the fact that if, in fact, that I'm coming up economically challenged because of our history, then you need to lean towards and maybe do 60-40 in the distribution of funds, because I'm a human being and I can learn and I can do business and I can be your boss one day, or maybe I can work for you, but I deserve an equal opportunity to match up for what my journey is in this country so that we can all rise together. And so these things have been unbalanced for quite some time. So just getting back real quickly to understanding, you know, the chickens coming home to roost, that that we need to understand how government works, because it's our government. And the way that most schools are funded, it's funded off the tax dollars based on property tax. And which means is, if Bobby's school is surrounded by $100,000 homes plus up to $1 million, and in that particular district and has district representatives and you get representative government, then that means then there's a higher chance that that school is going to have higher funding, higher dollar base, because it's based on those properties. So you have $1 million property or $100,000 property. I mean, a percentage off that is going to be more than, for example, and I was just using a name, but just somebody in a different kind of community that has low income, and that they live in or around the school here. It's the same school system. It's the same rules, same regulations, and all that kind of stuff. But the funding is different. The funding is different because this school is surrounded by $60,000, $30,000, $20,000 homes. Yes, you understand. But they give a percentage off of that. If it's, you know, and it really it's got exemptions and out galore when it gets below a certain amount anyway, but just say they get a percentage off of $20,000. That's different than a percentage off $100,000. And then the school's surrounded by low-income housing. Well, that is tax-provided money, so there's no tax dollars going to be coming off that to the school system. And it's surrounded by businesses that may be run down and that don't have a thriving business, so they're not putting in. So in other words, so people say, what's all the same? Well, it's not the same. If everything surrounding my school produces a smaller percentage of tax dollar to invest in my teachers and my books and my school and all that's going on, it's not the same as Bobby's school. But if we're Americans and we are e pluribus unum, though many one, then we should be thinking about every school should be the same. Right. Every school, every kid should have the same opportunity. As Christians, we definitely should be thinking about, you know, why are the books given to Bobby's school, state of the art, whatever, and going to Shaniqua's school or Jennifer's school or, you know, Stan's school or whatever, who's in that surrounding. It's like third use underlined. The teachers are just trying to barely make it by because they're not getting the same pay. I mean, just the whole mindset of saying, well, if I have to go to that school that's surrounded by that, it's going to be more difficult for me because they don't invest in that school the way they invest in this school, and I have a greater chance. That whole environment is against that kid learning. In the eyes of God, that's not for us as Christians. I mean, we're talking about, you know, what America should do, but we as Christians shouldn't be marching in some line saying we don't care about the injustices and the imbalances. And this is the difficult thing. All these things that are happening, yeah, they are unjust. Some of these things that are happening right now, like a chief judge making law and judge making law and these different things going on. But that was unjust for years in America. And we still have those inequalities. The church stands up for those inequalities. And I really believe this. I think it's time for the church to wake up and become, have a school. I have two schools. One school is the evangelistic school that is reaching out to the lost, and, you know, we hope in this process of education that you're going to meet God. And the other school is ones who know God, who walk with God. And that school can make the other school a ministry, but there should be two of those types of schools. You shouldn't mix in the ones trying to find God with the ones who are in their fresh walk with God, because you'll find out, just like the university, 70% of Christians go to public universities. They leave their faith, 70%. Mm-hmm. And the ones that go to Christian universities, it's just because you go to Christian university don't mean you're a Christian or you're walking close to God. Mm-hmm. 50% leave their faith, which means they go to hell. That's what that means. Yeah. They leave God. We have these statistics for you in the VFN Torch. So I think I'm starting to see that potentially begin to pray about, you know what? We need to start two schools. One school needs to be evangelistic, which we can teach everybody, you know, teach Shaniqua or Stan or those surrounded in unequal circumstances, mm-hmm. and just poor finances and attention into them. And if they're not saved, they're Christians, get them into this other particular school, and they can make that school their ministry. And this particular school it's serious. This is a serious school. We walk with Jesus here. This is what we do. Somebody says, well, this sounds a lot like Teen Challenge. You're a teen, and this is a challenge, and this is school. We don't apologize for Jesus. We don't apologize for the Word.
That's right.
You know, we teach Christianity. We teach, you know, biblical perspective of the world. And you just go, well, I don't know. It's like, you're in the evangelistic school. You know, that's cool. We got a school right here for you. Hopefully you'll find your way to understand that God is the creator of the universe. Jesus holds everything together, and he's the one that sustains life. And you see the difference? It's now, because what happens is, you know, quite often people say, you know, I just really want Bobby to know Jesus. I just really want Bobby to know Jesus, right? Mr. Atomic Bomb Bobby.
Right.
So you have these people that are laboring in this Christian school, right? They're like, oh, man.
Pyrotechnician Bobby, you know.
Yeah, right. And so then, you know, they go, I just want to send them to a Christian school. And so you have these parents who raise their kids in the Lord, mm-hmm. and you know, and that doesn't mean that they're following the Lord, but somebody that it worked, and they're walking and they're serving God, and their vision for business and ministry is just amazing where they're going. And all of a sudden Bobby drops in there like a atom bomb, full of darkness, full of delusion, misleading the folks and your kids and all this kind of stuff. And next thing you know, why am I battling darkness in a Christian school?
Yeah.
And what the parents' hope was, by the way, that Bobby would get saved.
All right.
The hope was that in this Christian school, and that's, to me, that's an evangelistic school, which is great. I mean, it's great. I mean, you can send strong kids there who walk with the Lord, or this school can make that school their mission. They go in there and they do reading, they do tutoring, they mentor the kids, they share their testimonies, all the wonderful things. But we have one particular school that is intentionally concentrated on the fact that Jesus is Lord. This is it.
Wow.
I mean, this is it. There's just it. We don't apologize for it. And whatever happens in the world, happens in the world. But the fact is that these kids, both from both those schools, are going to be loosed in the world, and they're going to bring light and hope and a new way of looking at things into leadership, into business, and all that. So I really see, I'm starting to see, because, you know, how long can you scream at the darkness instead of just saying, no, it's just time to be the light. Mm-hmm. And if that's the way they want to go, and the history of our nation is like this, by the way. It's just recently, in the recent decades, you know, the federal government taking over schools. It wasn't like that. But it's time for us, and I believe the future leaders of America are going to come from homeschool. They're going to come from schools like we're talking about. And many children, and the Lord showed me many children coming to him. They'll only come to him when somebody actually tells them about him. They're not going to come to him because, you know, they have to hear it first. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just looking at that, and instead of, you know, and then you can put the two together. Then you can say, okay, here's a Christian school who's completely concentrated on Jesus as Lord. And the Bible is not only taught here, it is memorized, hidden in a heart. People abide. They share their abiding experiences. Abiding groups are going on in the school. It's just a powerful thing. Not perfect, obviously, issues happening and all that because of our sin nature, but that's the driving force. The Holy Spirit's invited there to be able to speak to the students, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance and all the things that's said in the prayers. And in addition, their project and their ministry is this other school, which is an evangelistic school where, you know, Susan can send Bobby to in hopes that Bobby will find God in the context. And those two schools will outweigh and outperform, I believe, every other school in the nation. You know, along with a serious parent that's homeschooling, not just to play around, but a serious parent that's homeschooling their kid and paying that kind of attention to them. More when we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The ability for abstract reasoning is diminishing in our time. When you really start with a minor premise and a major premise, build a syllogism and enter into a deduction, the average person loses you halfway through because they have come to their conclusions on the basis of images prior to that, and the capacity for abstract reasoning has been gone. And I believe Jacques Ellul, the French sociologist dealing with technology, is right when he entitles our ability to perceive today as a process where there has been a humiliation of the word. The exaltation is in images. The humiliation has taken place in the written process.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I heard that. I'm not sure, but I may have heard this. I mean, you can let me know that you can become a citizen of Israel now, like you become a citizen of America.
Really?
Really?
I know.
Dual citizenship?
Well, you probably have to surrender your citizenship, I would think. You know, I'm sure. I don't know.
Mm.
Now he's really complicated. Dual citizenship. I don't know about dual.
Yeah.
And the, but yeah, but think about that. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
Can you imagine that? You and I'd lose all kinds of weight.
Listen, oh, we would.
We lost 10 pounds. Like, you want some of that? Nope.
No,
how about
good.
This? We're full. No. One more tomato.
I enjoyed the falafels when I was Israel. I just want to be on record.
The falafels were good, but they just had the chickpea sauce. It's like, that chick.
Yeah, no sauce. See, just like.
Oh, I know, but it already run. It drizzled all down my falafel, and it was like nowhere.
It was awful falafel.
We have these big roads in America. You can find somewhere to chunk something.
Even
you know,
the pizza
in the trash
was
can.
Gross, man.
Oh, I know, because they don't mix dairy and meat.
I was so looking forward to that pizza.
They don't mix dairy and meat, and so. There's no meat on the pizza, but they had olives.
Green olives.
I was like, that does not go together. We were so pumped. We were willing to go to Syria, on the borders of Syria and Lebanon, to be able to just have a pizza. We're going to have a pizza. And we got there, and it was a pizza with green olives.
I don't know what that was.
It couldn't even pick them off. It was like, it just drizzled onto the pizza. You want to slide into the back door. Do you have some anchovies? I know it's wrong, but, you know, I'm a Christian. Mixing dairy and meat is very, very important. And, of course, we're not going to talk about going to the airport. What'd you do? We covered the borders. Thank you. All I know is Pat went behind the curtain. And they searched him, and he never was the same ever since. I don't know what happened. His eyes are big and round. I have no idea what happened. And I shouldn't have had so much coffee. I drink way too much coffee. That's probably what got us in trouble, too. Well, my goodness. So much to talk about. But we want to talk about what is taking place. What is your partnership and your sponsorship helping make available? Because remember, by standing with VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, we're openly saying in front of everyone, we stand up for God and country in that order because we believe without God there wouldn't be a country. Mm-hmm. And finally, we also stand up for Israel. And you're doing that. You're standing up with Israel, not just for the news and all the light perspective of the news, but physically, tangibly you are standing up. Speaking of Avi Mizrahi that we are actually financially supporting and praying for right there in Tel Aviv and the Do Good Ministries, and I want you to take a look. Take a look right here what your gifts and your sponsorship and partnerships help make possible.
Take half. Here's take one.
Half a take.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. And take two.
We'll be right back.
Your gifts and your support help not only keep the world, America, and the VFN TV and Daily Radio audience informed about what's really taking place, a Christian perspective, a light perspective of Israel, but also supports Duguid Ministries, Avi Mizrahi, one of the most homeless men, and his work and his Messianic Church, his Duguid Ministries, which you see right there taking place, and the feeding of the poor, helping the Russian Jews, where now Avi is partnering with Israel, where Israel needed help. And so they're actually giving food for Avi to be able to, man, you saw some of that taking place, to be able to hand out to the Russian Jews that have come. And you're helping to make that possible. What does it mean to stand with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program? That's what it means. That's what it means. It's time for us truly to be the light of the world. Jesus commanded us to be the light of the world. That's when we talk about keeping the conversation light.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.